Blog Talk Radio.
May your struggle keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may your and may your bad days prove that God is good. And may your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your struggles keep you near the cross. And may your
y'all so much for coming out.
May your bad days prove that God.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it blesses my soul to be here on tonight to welcome you to another installation of Wounded No More with your anointed host and facilitator, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Now, Pastor Vanessa Carver is a mother, she is a wife, she is an author, and she is a mighty woman of God who has a heart after God's own. So, my brothers and sisters, please retrieve your Bibles, get something to write with and to write on, and receive your anointed host, Pastor Vanessa Carver.
Thank you, Apostle Cook, for that introduction, and I just welcome everybody to, I think this is the third installation of God's Heart and Mind that we are teaching tonight. Last time I taught, we taught about rest, the rest of God. And then before that, we talked about God as our refuge. Now, tonight, we are going to be talking about the loss and God's heart for the loss. And I think this is really key, because many times as servant leaders, those who are new in our walk with God. We think about, especially those who are new in their walk with God, you know, we were once lost and he found us. He found us. We didn't find him. I truly believe that, first of all, I need to define that because a lot of times people feel like they were looking for God and God found them, they found God, but really he finds us. And there are, I just want us to understand or just begin to talk a little bit about the heart of God for the lost. Many times the intensity of his thoughts for the lost are felt, as what I've experienced, is through intercession. And there are examples that we're going to share tonight, that I'm going to share tonight in the Word, to bring it all to you, to understand the what the Word is saying about it, and to expand your understanding about the things. And I titled this called God's Heart. I called it God's Heartbreak and Sorrow for the Lost, but also for the lost, those who are lost, those who are wandering. And I might even hear, you'll hear my little definition as well for those two different levels of what is lost: those who don't know God, those who are in a place where they're separated from God, or maybe they walked away from God at one point in their lives. Another term could be backslidden, but lost is lost. There are those who are lost in their calling and purpose because they were disconnected from God. So we're just going to talk about the whole thing and how sin separates us from God. And then we become, when we're in a place where we're practicing sin, the compassion and the things that God feels about us in this place. Some of us are way past that phase in our lives, but some of us know people. Some of us serve a community of lost people or people that were lost, and trying to understand that now that you are found, there's a new identity and what that feels like. So we're going to talk about it all tonight. But I just want you to pray with me and for me as I present. Father God, I thank you today for your level of love and peace that will be exemplified in this lesson, that you will be speaking through me, not just me speaking, but speak your mind, Lord, and your heart. And I pray that anyone who is listening with your heart and with your mind, that they're receptive to you. It's not about being responsive to me or responsive to man, but it's about being responsive to you, Lord, in the spirit. And thank you that there be peace. Thank you that the engrafted word will be accepted to them, and it'll be prosperous for their souls. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So we're going to start off with where it begins, in Genesis 3. And this is a passage that many of us are familiar with because this has to do with the fall. And this has to do with right after the fall, some activities or some actions that happened right after. And so it's verse 9 through 10, chapter 3. But the Lord called to man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." So here we have God asking Adam, where was he? And we know why he was hiding, because they had partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so their eyes were opened, and it created once again a separation. But the Lord called unto Adam again, and you hear me repeat things many times for emphasis. Where are you? And he said, "I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Okay, so when we begin to talk about the loss, people hiding, people feeling ashamed, people being afraid, keep that thought. Keep that thought and think about how when they partook of that forbidden fruit, or they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were open, but then it immediately made them self-aware of their disposition. There were guilt, there was shame, there was covering up, and there was fear. And so when we think about the loss, when you think about that, those characteristics right there that Adam demonstrated in the garden, I want you to keep that thought as we begin to unfold this a little bit more. It started in the garden, and yet God was there and realized that because they had taken of the fruit, that they were different. And they knew they were different, and they were ashamed. So when people are dealing with these types of things in their mind, what do? They're afraid, they hide. We're going to talk about that. But now we're going to go to the New Testament and talk about in Luke 19. This is Jesus speaking. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That right there. Of course, we can read that whole chapter, which I love reading the Gospels and reading the different perspectives. But the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's why when people say, oh, I found him. But no, he sought for us and he found us. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He had an assignment and we do too. We as servant leaders have an assignment when it comes to the lost. I love how Apostle Cook always comes back to that, the agenda of Spirit Alive, and just really her whole vocation, her whole life, and is about the lost, you know. And she always emphasizes that in ministry. And I think that should always be, we're concerned about souls. But, a lot of times I say, yeah, I'm concerned about souls, but I'm concerned about those who are lost. And I will share with you later on in the show something that impacted me just this week, and it broke my heart. But it was a way that God got my attention about the loss. It really broke my heart and had me crying for days. In Psalms 34, verses 18, it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit, contrite in heart, truly sorry for their sin." So when we think about this verse, and we think about, this is a verse that I hear a lot, and I have used a lot, and I have prayed this, and God has brought this verse back to me when I'm going through different things. First of all, admitting that I have a broken heart. Second of all, that my spirit has been crushed for whatever reason, but knowing that it kept me in a place where I was receptive to him at that place. But if you're fearful, if you're hiding, you see what I mean? Versus the mentality of someone who's lost, they're not necessarily thinking that because their heart is broken that God is anywhere close to them. They're in agony. You know, they are overwhelmed sometimes. They're just crushed. And so, but he's near to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. He saves, that word, that verb, saves the crushed in spirit. So when you think of the loss, especially this individual who I dealt with this week, they were basically in that place that Adam and Eve were, hiding, ashamed, right, and not really aware of their disposition or even thinking about God and how God was close to them. So John 3:16, everybody knows this verse. He loved, for God so what? Loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Once again, this is about the sacrificial love that God has for us. He had to send his son to begin to turn back to the original plan of what happened in the garden. And he constantly, if you look through history, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, his intent for us is the biggest and the most important thing, the love for us. So greatly loved us, so dearly prized. It says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his only and only begotten son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him shall not perish and have eternal life. And this is one of those foundational scriptures that when you are witnessing to people, you see them on shirts, you see them on bumper stickers, you see them on cups, you see this verse on everything, even a necklace. You can get John 3:16 because it's very true. He loved us. He loved the world. He sent provision for us so that we wouldn't have to perish. And this is still a good opening verse when you're ministering to somebody. I don't think it ever loses its power. For those who are really desperate, that verse could save their very life. John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He had to sacrifice. And that's still powerful to this day. In Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Still sinners. So that goes back to John 3:16. He clearly shows and proves his love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, he was making provision for us to come to him. so that we would have eternal life and be safe. So we have to think about the whole plan of it. It started in Eden. Okay, there was provision made, and as it, now if you look how he put his mark on the people of Israel and showed them love and constantly restored them and constantly brought them back to the original plan, even when they would leave it and come back and constant, it's a constant love story, and there is provision in his love. But once again, keep in mind we're talking about the loss. In Matthew 18, verses 10 through 14, this is about the parable of the lost sheep. And as I was studying for this topic, I was just like, yeah, there's a verse that talks about how God leaves, how the shepherd will leave the 99 and look for the one. And there's songs about it too. And then this verse, this chapter I'm going to read in Matthew 18, 10 through 4. See that you do not despise or think less of these little ones, because he was talking about the children. For I say unto you that their angel in heaven are in presence of and continually look upon the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And then he starts to talk about the 99 plus one. He says in verse 12, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, will he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that is lost? And if it turns out that he finds it, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that did not get lost.
Yeah.
So yeah. It is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones be lost. And it goes back to, even though I didn't include this in, but I'm thinking of that prodigal son. That's another good example of someone was lost and enthralled in wasteful living and came back. And God brought him back. That's a whole subject. But the prodigal, the one who left, the one who was wasteful in his life. I encountered someone who was. It was interesting because when we think of the loss, this is what my experience has been. When I pray for certain things, you know, I pray for a lot of different things. Pray for groups. I don't just pray for just one person or whatever. But it's interesting how you have a list of things to pray for. And God will just have you focus on one thing or one person for days sometimes or for hours. And what I have experienced is that God's heart is expressed in the intercession, the sadness, the deep sadness, the wailing, the different things that I experience in my own emotions are God's emotions. Because even though I may care about a person, you may care about a person, or a subject or something, when you become sensitive to the heart of God, which is this whole series about, what he thinks about a thing, how he thinks about a thing, you become where he's intense about something, where he highlights a certain thing. I pay attention to that now and how he grieves. So I felt like when I was praying for this person, I was grieving. And I said, and God said, that's my heart. And this person is lost, basically, because of some of the choices that they've made. And it's one thing when God is trying to draw you to him and you keep running from God. You know what I mean? And that grieves him. That breaks his heart. It goes back to Adam. We never think about there's a picture that's painted about God in the garden and Adam and Eve. Sometimes we think, oh, they broke the rules. Now they get kicked out, you know, and that's it. He's just hard. No, they were warned and they were told. And I truly believe, let's go back to think about how he felt about what they did. And so he was looking for them. And I'm going to go back to this, Genesis. But the Lord called to Adam and said, and I'm going to open up the scriptures too, because I feel like I need to hit this really hard with it doesn't say, I'm not going to say what the word doesn't say, but I think about how that broke his heart. Well, God knows everything. He knew they were going to do that. He probably didn't feel any kind of way. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. So when we begin to read 9, okay, so I'm going to go back to, now we're not going to talk about the serpent and what he did. And they heard the sound of God walking. Okay, so let's go to 8. I'll just read. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called unto the man and said, "Where are you?" Now, he knew where he was physically, but maybe he was saying, "Where are you in your mind? Where are you in your heart?
Yeah.
You know, where are you?" And he said, "I hid myself." He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden," and this is Adam, "and I was afraid because I was naked." And he said, "Who told you you were naked?" So you think about these different, who told you? Who had the authority to tell you that you were naked? "Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, then he starts talking and saying, "The woman gave it to me. She gave me the fruit." The Lord said to the woman, "What is it that you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me." The Lord said to the serpent, so here you go. Passing, that's when blame was the original issue, in the blame, guilt, shame, fear, all of that stuff was in the garden. When we think of the loss, do we think about that exchange that God has and how he tries to woo us or woo somebody or say, "I die for you and I love you intensely and I'm hurt by the fact that you're running from me because you have a false sense of who I am and that's not who I am." And so I believe these days, because of religion and because of, you know, error, people are painting picture. So there are people that will hide. They will hide. And they were saying, "I was afraid of God because the God I thought, he's punishing me. That's why I'm hiding, and I don't feel worthy." So the reason why I'm going over this way is because I'm trying to hear the words of the lost. These are the things and the thoughts that they may have. And as we become sensitive to God's heart, he's concerned about his reputation amongst the lost. Reputation is being messed up. That's not who he is. He doesn't represent what some of the people that are out there roaming and whatever. He said, you know, we need to do PR because what they're hearing about me is not true. And they don't need to fear me. And so let's just keep hearing what God is saying in the scriptures. In Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, and this is Jesus when he, you know, he was ministering to the crowds, he was moved with compassion and pity for them because they were dispirited, distressed, like sheep without a shepherd. So this is another one of those passages that make me think about compassion creates miracles. Compassion provides, is one of those precursors, rather, before there is a miracle. Because as we know, this comes before he feeds them. He has them all sitting down, and then he begins to take that fish and that loaves, and it's multiplied. There's so much that can happen when there's compassion that comes from God. He had compassion for them. They were following him haphazardly, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And that's something that he discerned. And I think that that's what I was feeling when I was praying for this individual. Even before I prayed, this is something powerful I'll share. Even before I prayed for this individual, when I saw this individual, I began to weep immediately inside. And I think that's what God is trying to show us. And it was so strong that it wouldn't leave me. Like, I was just like, okay, straighten up. They don't need to see you crying. But it was really a response like this. He was moved with compassion and pity for them. And that's what I felt, because it really stopped me in my tracks when I saw their disposition. I discerned more than just what they looked like. I discerned other things too. And it crushed me. But I was like, that's God's heart. And it goes back to this passage. It makes me think when he saw them, the crowds, he could have had the response like in the natural, "All these people are following me. Look at all these people. They are out of control," you know. But no, he had compassion and pity for them because they were dispirited and they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Desperate, I would say. In some cases, maybe. Yeah. And so whether we see a group of people or whether we see one person, let's allow ourselves that the Spirit of God will overtake us and we begin to discern what his heart is. And he, even when people are involved in sinful behavior, And you know they know better. And we in the natural don't always have pity for them. We feel like, well, if you would stop doing the foolishness, you wouldn't be going through all of this. Well, you brought it on yourself, you know. But the Holy Spirit will have compassion and love. And that's how you know it's the Spirit through you a lot of times. Think about your disposition. Think about God's response. And that was God's response that I experienced this last couple of days. It was heartbreaking. And I think we break God's heart every day. And when we talk about the loss, this is one of those things. The compassion's on the crowd, the things that he did, let's feed them. At least we can sit down and we can feed them, you know, these people. And I'm going to share this with you, too. I've heard this passage taught when they were talking about him feeding the 5,000, where they were saying these same people were the ones that were maybe months later saying, crucify him, crucify him. It doesn't matter. That's the nature of people. But the fact is he saw crowds and he was moved with compassion and pity, and it caused him to act. So when I saw this person, it did cause me to act. There were some things that I was able to do, but it just felt like it didn't make any difference. I still did what I could do, but it does make a difference if you're being led by the Holy Spirit. So if God is dealing with you about something that moves you, especially when it comes to those who are lost, even if it's giving somebody a dollar that you see in the street, because everybody that we give alms to or you know, help, we may feel empathy for them, right? And we may feel sorry for them, but when is it different when we move beyond that and that person and that person's face keeps coming before us? That's different, and you can't ignore that. So I want to challenge you in your everyday life, whether it's something you encounter in the natural or maybe it's something you see on television that just sticks with you. There's a reason for it when it comes to this demographic of people. And so now we're going to read in Numbers 27, verses 12 through 17. And the Lord said to Moses, go up in this mountain in the Abarim. Look at the land which I give to the sons of Israel. When you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people in death, just as Aaron and your brothers was gathered. Because in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled. So here he is showing Moses the promised land, but he said you won't be able to, you know, occupy it. But then he tells Joshua. So then in 15 through 17, he says, and Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of all the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation. Now this is what I want you to focus on. When Moses saw the promised land, he began to talk to God and say, let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them and will lead them out and bring them in so that the congregation of the Lord will not be as sheep without a shepherd. And so I use this example because as a leader, you know, Joshua was being groomed to be a leader. Him and Caleb went out of the 10, out of the 12. They were the only two that came back. We can take the land. And the other ones was like, no, we can't. And yet Joshua was the one that took Moses' place. But the Lord gave him Joshua. But Moses said, Lord, you know, appoint someone over these people that will lead them and have a shepherd's heart. And so, once again, it kind of reminded me of what Jesus did when he saw the multitude and fed them. This was the heart of a man that had led them people out in the wilderness, and this is Moses. And we know how they vexed him. We know how he wasn't even able to see the promised land because of his rebellion, right, against God's command to treat as something that God said was holy. And that had to do with him hitting the rock when the water came out. And he was being rebellious because he allowed the people to vex him. Nevertheless, he still was concerned about the people and said, God, you know, appoint the right person to be over these people that will not, you know, the Lord will not be as sheep without a shepherd. So these people won't be lost. He had a heart for the people. Even though they vexed him, he did. This is a shepherd's heart and a servant's heart. So, and that should be always the heart of God, always should be, even when people take you there. So I think that this example in Joshua, from Moses to Joshua, came from a place of prayer, because he was concerned about the disposition of the people. They'll be lost out there, and they will perish. And so God answered his prayers. In his humility and godliness, you know, he began to, that took humility to pray that way to God about the people. In Jeremiah, now we're going to get to the part where intercession comes in when it comes to the lost. And we talk about the weeping prophet, right? And the weeping, everybody knows that Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because of the level of his compassion. But I think the thing that made me weep when I was it felt like pity, but it also was compassion too. And it was in a place where you wail to declare, to tear down something. So we're going to go a little bit into that tonight. Jeremiah 9:1 says, "Oh, that my head," and he's talking, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." There's mourning a lot of times that comes into play when we think about the loss. First of all, we shouldn't lean to our own understanding, because if God is getting us in a place where we're paying attention to them, then that doesn't mean they always will be lost. They won't. And we pray that they allow themselves to be found. That means respond to God, that your eyes will be open, that you begin to submit to God, you know, these types of things. And so in his lament, you know, when you're in intercession, it can be kind of like, it feels like a lament sometimes, especially when it stays with you for days. And until that thing breaks off you, you just got to let the Spirit use you in that way. Your lamenting, your wailing is not in vain. And even in Jeremiah 13:17, "But if you will not listen and obey, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and flow with tears because the Lord's flocks have been captive." So he's praying about their sin. And many times I know that's what I was praying about. This person had some very destructive habits, and I was praying about that. I was praying, my soul was weeping, but I believe God was weeping through me because of sin had, is, you know what, sin is a hard taskmaster. And when you see that on people, that does something to me. That does something to me, and it does something to God too. So, and it's not like we should go around, you know, like a basket case crying all the time, but I think that when you do get moved to tears and you have the heart of God, don't restrain yourself. Don't restrain yourself. I think as long as we become sensitive to God's presence will be around us, and some of those people would never know. I have wept for you. It's not because I feel sorry for you or that I can even do anything about it. God is weeping for you. He's weeping for you. And in Jeremiah 14:17, it says, "Therefore, Jeremiah, will you," he said, "therefore," in 14:17, "therefore, Jeremiah, you will say this word to them, let my eyes flow with tears night and day, let them never cease. For the virgin daughter of my people has been crushed with a great blow, with a serious and severely infected wound." So here you have a prophet who is praying for the sins of his people. And it's kind of detailed because there, when you read the book of Jeremiah, there's a couple things going on. But the level of intercession always had to do with their sin and him looking at that, being able to discern it spiritually and naturally and seeing the repercussions and praying that they be free from judgment. And sometimes he prayed that they would be judged so that they would stop acting a fool. That's another reason why he would pray that too. It was a lot to watch. It was a lot to discern. It was a lot to absorb. And it's a lot for our human eyes, but God uses us to do what he needs to do. And so when we are in a place of wailing. There was a time in my life that I did that a lot when I would pray about different things. I would wail. I would go to pray about something didn't always start off with tears. It didn't always start off with heaviness. And by the time I was done, I was wailing and on my face. And I think we should not be afraid to do that when it comes to the loss. We are bringing that dimension of who God is in the earth when we can get together and begin to pray for the loss, how God wants us to pray for the loss, and not become hard and conditioned to what we see every day, whether it's people struggling with addictions, whether it's people living in their cars, whether we see people in jail, whether we see the enemy ravaging neighborhoods with violence, whether we see, you know, just kids being raised in confusion, all these types of things. You know, one of the reasons why I never liked contacts is because I didn't want to touch my eyeball. And I felt like I could never do that. And you know how there's a scripture that talks about how God felt about Israel. It was touching the center of his eye. I'm not saying it right, but I think the scripture that talks about I'm trying to think of the phrase. Let me look this up really quick because it came to me right now. Touching the apple of his eye, yeah. And so what that means is the sensitive part of his eye. I think when I was reading about that, it said touching the most sensitive part of your eye. And so when God begins to deal with you about certain topics and you become very sensitive, I think it's like they're touching the apple of his eye. They're touching those sensitive things, and I think this is what he is saying when he's talking about the loss. And I felt that day when I was grieving that it was touching the apple of his eye. It was a sensitive part of God's heart for this soul, for this one particular soul. And if they knew that God felt like that about them, first of all, if I ever get to see this person again, which I believe I will, I'm going to share that with him. And I think that is another way to witness and allow that person to allow God to draw you. So when we think about the loss, I hope this lesson blessed you to where you get an understanding of his heart for the lost and the things that sin did. The things that bring God sorrow when it comes to the lost, and the love that he has and the sacrificial love that he showed and the compassion in prayer and the level of intercession and wailing. And despite the mess that sin made, God is one that is bringing provision to those. So this lesson was really about cultivating and really introducing you and hopefully giving some impartation about the loss. Do you ever think about the loss? You don't have to be an evangelist for God to deal with you about the loss. They're all around us. And I want to go into my own little commentary as well. I'm going to make it very short. But when I think about the loss, I don't just think about people that don't know God or never really had a relationship with him. I also think about people in the house, people in the body of Christ that are lost, not as it pertains to their salvation, but maybe their purpose and identity. And they can give you that, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing for God. I don't feel like God called me. I don't know who I am. I've seen that. I've gone through that, and I've seen it in the house. Well, God, if God really, you know, and there's a lot of confusion, and they're in the right place, but they feel lost for whatever reason. We pray for those too. I don't necessarily put them in the same category. I think it's a different place when people are in confusion and they're not drawing close to God or they're not being receptive to God. But for some reason, those people get to me too. They get to me too. There's times when they get to God, so they get to me too, which means they break my heart too. I think it is one of the impetus, one of the reasons why we did the, or why I was doing the thing about mental health, the struggles that people go through, the things that they, that get in the way of them growing and being developed, and the heartbreak, the grief. There's a series coming up this year that I'm going to do called The Grieving Brain. And there's the things that people in the body of Christ go through that can make them feel lost. And they're not, yeah. Of course. And they're not alone, but that does not mean that they don't feel that way and they will act out that way. We have to be concerned about them too. So if you're in church and you see this person all the time and maybe lately God is drawing you to them for some reason and you pray for them or whatever, or and maybe they've come to you and said, can you pray for me? And you pray for them, but you're not, are you listening to God's heart when it comes to them? I remember praying for somebody. This is years and years ago, and God said, this person's heart is broken, and they don't feel like they belong. But I would see him all the time in church, and he began to tell me what to pray for them because they were about to leave and walk away from God. And so you have to be willing to listen to his heart when it comes to what he defines as loss, and not just people that don't know him, not just people that ain't in the church house, not just people that don't have a Bible or know the word. There are different levels of feeling lost, going in circles. Some people are in cycles. They feel lost too. Have you ever driven somewhere and kept going to, I know I have. I have a bad sense of direction. So I remember the feeling of being lost in the natural. And it goes back up to this, and it's a horrible feeling, whether it's because we have GPS. Now you can find your way anywhere. You don't, even if your loss is very short, you can find your way back. But before they had GPS and all this other stuff, and I used to hate even going places because I would get lost. And then I began to say, Lord, you know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, this is probably how they felt. They knew something was different. After they ate that apple, they knew it, and it made them afraid, and it made them, you know, see their nakedness, and it made them hide, right? And they were distressed. And so I said, yeah, they were lost. They felt that, and it never went away. It never went away. I don't believe it ever went away until Calvary. So even though they had instances where they felt the presence of God, God would be with them, but it's not the same based on that first connection that they had. They knew that was it. There are things that I've done in my life that I'm not proud of, and the very minute that I did them, I felt like the eclipse. If anybody remembers the eclipse on that day, if you were out there and did you see how cold it got? You could feel how cold it got once it was covered up, once it was a full eclipse. And so when we walk away from God, there's levels of darkness that begin to enter our life. And so we need to stop to think the things that could be tormenting people that are lost. And they sometimes need us to go out and get them and let them know, God told me to go out and get you. I think of Apostle Zeta's ministry, her treatment, just different things she deals with the community. And I know that Apostle Cook has worked with her and has seen some things, and being there, being a refuge, speaking something encouraging to somebody, letting them know, no, God is still in control. He is close to those of a broken heart. So you need to start talking to him. And that's when usually you don't, because you're so overwhelmed. But that's the time to tell somebody or to remind yourself, if that's where you are today, is he's close to me. So I need to open up to him. And first of all, I come against being lost, because I'm not lost because he's close to me. So there's different things that God will begin to illuminate you about yourself. But first, sometimes you simply have to admit, and this is usually the only way that I would get help sometimes, when I would get lost in the natural in my car, I'm lost. I need help. I need help. But if I was admitting, I ain't lost, I'm not lost, I'm not lost, getting further and further away from where I'm supposed to be, it's crazy. So I pray, and that is my prayer tonight, that those who know that they are lost will come in a place of refuge and be in safety and just say, I am lost. But you know what? The moment that you're drawn to God, you are found. And even though you may feel that way, you're in a place of safety. So I want to end with I want to end with prayer. I want people to impress upon the heart of the people of God that whatever God has given you a burden about as it pertains to this demographic, anything that grieves him probably will grieve you spiritually. Anything that breaks his heart probably does, if you're serving, will break your heart. And don't think it's strange if he begins to move on you in prayer or maybe even in the natural. Sometimes it's both. It starts in prayer, but usually you will be able to be his hands and feet so that that need can be met. You will be the lifeline, if you're not already, to somebody saying, I give up, or somebody saying, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to continue to do self-destructive things. I'm going to go hurt somebody else because they don't feel loved and they feel like God does not care. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. I want to leave you with that tonight. I was afraid. I hid because I was naked. And this is part of the sentiment that some of these people are feeling. Lord, we just thank you tonight for you speaking so clearly and for you speaking so gently to us in a place of peace, equipping us to know that with you all things are possible, that we can reach those, Lord, who are hiding, who are afraid, who do feel naked, who feel exposed. I thank you, Lord, today for the loss that they come into the house. That, Lord, we are your hands and feet. You've led us out there in the highways and the byways with a kind word, with a smile, with a hug, with some resources, whatever it is that they may need. And I thank you, Lord, today for the things that do break our heart, that because they break yours, because I think that in itself shows that there's intimacy, shows that we will be receptive, so that when we do serve, people are feeling that. They're not feeling our generosity. They're feeling your hand. They're feeling your intervention. They're feeling, Lord, your protection. They're feeling your love and your peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Vanessa. Hallelujah. Well, that was a phenomenal teaching. We do have some Spirit Alive family in the house. We have Mother Mitchell in the house, and we have Apostle Zeta. So, Mother Mitchell, do you have a comment or any comments or words for about the lesson tonight?
Wonderful, wonderful teaching, Pastor Vanessa. And it says a lot to me because a lot of times I tend to feel lost, not from the Lord, but lost in the world. With people that's around me, and I think sometimes I feel I'm pushed aside, and I'm not in my proper place sometimes, and I've always felt like that from a very young child that I was misplaced, and it's something you must keep fighting, because it sometimes it's true and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's your feeling that way, but it's because you feel that way. It's not because anyone is making you feel that way or deliberately making you feel lost or alone or pushed aside. So I just keep praying to the Lord about it, and I keep asking him for help for me to lay this whatever it is, this burden down, and it gets better, and I am so appreciative that the Lord loves me so much, me all the time. You're never alone. I am with you. I won't leave you, and it doesn't matter about the rest, because you can't depend on man anyway. And, you know, I really do know that, and the Lord always reminds me of that when he speaks to me. When he comes and talks with me. So I just thank you for this lesson, and I thank you that I know and see the heart of God for the lost, because when I'm feeling lost, he is always there.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Apostle Zeta.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, like Mother Mitchell said, it was a wonderful teaching. And I feel very blessed because I'm not always able to tune in on Thursday evenings.
and today I am. I'm free. It was a very good lesson. It really touched my heart because that's where my heart is.
Yes,
and we do need to have the heart of a shepherd, you know. And some of the things that she, I'm not going to touch on everything, but some of the things really stood out to me about, you know, seeking the lost, making sure that the lost get saved, you know, and having their heart of knowing that God's heart is in the very things that we are moved by. And, you know, also what others are going through. You know, we have, she touched on people that are confused and, you know, sometimes, you know, people don't show forth the compassion, or I should say we, but, you know, I work real hard at that, trying to move with compassion, what I see. And also that response that she mentioned, you know, paying attention to God's response, how he responds to the needs, you know, of others, you know, that we should also be responsive to that as well, you know. So that really touched me. And the whole lesson just was, you know, just was good. Things that we need to be concerned about was brought out. You know, there are people that are really afraid, you know, and we're not to just look at them and say, well, they shouldn't be afraid just because we aren't, you know, because we're not afraid, because we know that God is looking out for us. And not only that, we have the power in us that he has given us to come against certain things that we're not overtaken by the enemy. Well, there are people that are really afraid about certain things that are happening in the world, and they just don't know how to handle it. They don't know about, they don't know Ephesians 6. They don't know about the weapons that we can use, the divine weapons that God has given us and all of that. So we need to pray for them, help them to pray through, help them to realize and know that there is no need to be afraid, you know. And sometimes that's hard to get through to other people that are just scared, you know, or maybe they're going through something and they can't see their way out, and they're feeling like there's no hope for them. Well, that's where we need to come in and let them know that there is hope in Christ Jesus. Pray for them. Pray through with them. Cry out for them, as she was saying. You know, move with compassion. You know, if you're, you know, so we don't want to just feel sorry for somebody and just pass them by. Makes me think about the Good Shepherd, you know, what he did. But that's how we're supposed to move, you know, like Jesus moved. Those of us that know that, you know, that we should always be seeking out to save the lost. And I like the way she explained that, you know, it's not just the unsaved people that are lost, you know.
Right.
There's people that have been in the church many, many years, as she was saying, and they are lost. And they are lost because some of it is self-righteousness. You know, people have continued to be in their own way or believe what they believe rather than, you know, seeking God for what he's teaching us in his word. So, you know, we need to pay attention to that because they don't have to be lost, as she said, you know.
Right.
We do what we need to do.
Amen.
And allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, you know, as well.
Amen.
It was a very good lesson. I enjoyed it. I really did. I know I find myself sometimes grieving over some of the things that I see, and that lets me know that God has to be also grieving over it. But when we see that, we can take it to God in prayer and think.
Yes.
You know, the prayer changes things.
Yes.
Okay. I enjoy
Amen.
It.
I'm just
thank
gonna,
you, Pastor Bailey. Thank you.
I'm going to piggyback on that and just say I truly enjoyed the lesson as well, and I was especially touched, and I want everybody, you know, I was really glad that you pointed out that, you know, God's great, that Jesus is still interceding for us today. You know, it wasn't, it wasn't that he just went to the cross. He just, you know, he was just allowed himself to be crucified. He, you know, that he hung, bled, and died, but he rose, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us. And prayer is so very important when dealing with the lost, because sometimes when you're lost and you're going through trauma and drama, you don't even know how to begin to explain to someone else what you're feeling, what that will, you know. And so it's very important for us as servant leaders to always be prayerful. And I know you think, well, you know, we can pray during, you know, I'll invite them to church and we can pray during prayer meetings. No. You need to be prayerful from the word hello. You need to begin to start praying. And I just don't pray for them. I pray for me, because my heart's desire is to not mislead anybody. I want to be an effective witness. I want to be an effective disciple for Christ. And so I'm praying for myself. I'm asking the Lord, give me what to say. Give me the scriptures. Give me the insight that I need, because again, with leadership and with Christians in general, people that are lost, those that are in the world, they tend to think if they give us just a little bit, we can figure the rest out. And that is not the case. So always be in prayer for the lost. I thank you, Pastor Vanessa, and for those of you that are listening to her tonight, that listen to the comments tonight, you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have heard of God's great love for you and for me. And if you don't know him in the pardon of your sins, the good news is you don't have to. When you leave this broadcast, you don't have to leave this broadcast the same way that you tuned into the broadcast. You can bow your heart and you can just, you know, go to God and you can tell him, you know, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've been afraid to come to you because of the things I've heard about you. But, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I'm coming to confess my sins. And I'm asking that you become my Lord and my Savior. I'm asking that you, Lord Jesus, would rescue me. I want to be found like I heard them say in the song. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Lord, I'm coming right now, and I want you to give me sight. I want you to give me purpose. I want you to give me the victory in you. And it doesn't have to be a long prayer. It doesn't have to be a formal. You know, you don't have to try to be all formal with it. Just go up there and talk to him. Lord, I'm a sinner. And I'm coming to you, Father, Lord Jesus, asking for you to forgive me of my sin, because I repent of my sin. I believe that you are the Son of the living God. And I believe that you came, you died, and God raised you from the dead. And I believe that, and I want to be saved. I want to be rescued. I want to become new in you. And just by simply praying that prayer, hallelujah, simply asking, he will hear your prayer. And he will come into your life and it will never be the same. You are not alone. You are loved. You were, and I also like what Pastor Vanessa said about, you know, we think we find God, but God finds us. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Right.
You know, and he chose us before the foundation of the world. We weren't even a thought in anybody's eye because nobody was here. So before the, before he spoke things into existence, this plan of salvation was already in place.
Amen.
Just for you and just for me. So I pray that someone that's listening tonight, I'm grateful. I'm praising God right now that you have decided to make Jesus your choice. I'm praising God right now for all of you that have left the church, the body, because of what people have done to you. Please don't allow the actions of people, hallelujah, to damage your relationship with the Lord. Return to your first love, hallelujah, and allow him to build you back up, you know.
Amen.
Because when others tear us down, the Lord will build us back up. So I just want to thank you, Pastor Vanessa. It was a beautiful lesson. I can't wait to hear the next installment because God really does love us. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever, and the Lord said whosoever, he didn't say, you know, and that goes back to the mindset of those of us that are seeking the lost, you know, we want to think greed or the drug addicts or the you know, those people. But no, like she said, there's people that comes through the church door, have been coming through church doors for years, but they never stopped and entered into a real relationship with Christ Jesus. Religion they have. Jesus they have none. So they're still lost. Yes. So we need to be prayerful. We need to actively listen, actively pray, hallelujah, and give God all of the glory. You have been listening to Wounded No More with Pastor Vanessa Carver. We want to thank everyone that was listening in our chat rooms via their computers, via Instagram or Skype. We want to thank all of you that were in the studio, and if anybody else would like to make a comment, there is still time. Hallelujah. You can make your comment, ask your question, Pastor Vanessa. But we're just praising God. And while I'm looking to see if there are any ones that are being pressed, I'd just like to invite everyone to join us here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, Common Sense Files with myself and Brother Rick Altman. We are going to precept upon precept. We are applying everyday situations, and we are showing you the commonsensical importance of trusting, obeying, and sharing God's word. All right, and then on Saturday, you are more than welcome, and we cordially invite you to join Minister Adam Tuggle for the summit at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. So if there be nothing else, Father God, I just come thanking you for all that our ears have heard tonight. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your mighty vessel, Lord God, that came forth. Now, Lord, I pray that you would just touch her. Refill her, yes. Lord God. Pour back into her
as
she poured out unto us, Lord. Lord, whatever is going on in her body with the that cold or that flu or that virus, we pray, Jehovah Rapha, that you touch her with your finger of love right now.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. And heal her
in
the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord God, for all of our listeners. Whatever they stand in the need of, Lord God, we know that you sit high and you look low. And there is nothing that is too hard. So,
right.
Lord, we come just thanking you right now in the name of Jesus, knowing that you are the great I am that has a heart that loves us so. Hallelujah.
Mm.
No one can love us more and no one can love us better than you do, Lord. And we just want to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise as we say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen and amen.
Amen.
To you, we give all the glory. So once again,
yes.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is truly our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you. From all of us here at Wounded No More and the Spirit Alive Network, good night, my beautiful sisters. Good night, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you. Good night.